Another source of climate-damaging methane released into the atmosphere is industrial animal agriculture. And as you might expect, it's political. Conservative lawmakers and pundits recently railed against President Biden's new climate plan.
Americans would have to cut red meat consumption by a whopping 90%. That means only one burger a month.
In fact, the plan doesn't mention Americans' diets, and the misinformation originated from a sensational British newspaper headline. In the same week, the recipe site Epicurious announced it will no longer feature recipes that include beef. These reactions don't surprise Jennifer Jacquet, associate professor of environmental studies at New York University.
This is not really about the American way of life. This is about a future for our planet.
Jacquet is co-author of research published in the journal Climatic Change, which looks at the climate commitments of the world's 35 largest meat and dairy companies, and finds that the meat and dairy industry has downplayed its role in climate change, just like the fossil fuel industry.
I mean, one important distinction is there's no evidence that they've outright denied climate change, but they have tried to minimize the link between the meat and dairy sector and climate change through funding, for instance, academic studies that challenge the emissions data, essentially, that also sort of challenge the framing. So they try to emphasize that transportation is equal or if not more than meat and dairy. And of course, they've also funded in a variety of ways politicians who work against climate policy.
What percentage of greenhouse gas emissions is animal agriculture responsible for?
So responsibility is tricky because our views of responsibility keep changing. But there was a very important study that came out in 2006 that did attribute about 14.5% of greenhouse gases to the livestock sector. That was called Livestock's Long Shadow. And ever since that report, scientists have been working a lot on these numbers, and they've come up with roughly the same, somewhere between 15 to 20% of anthropogenic climate forcing is the result of meat and dairy. That's global.
The greenhouse gas emissions of animal agriculture aren't just the methane emissions that we hear about, the cow burps and farts, right? There's other components to it.
Yes. The main reason why meat and dairy look worse than other animal agriculture, like chickens or fish, is because of the methane component. But the feed component for cows and for all animals is also a significant portion of animal ag's impact on the climate. So we're seeing, of course, the need to clear land, to grow crops, to feed to animals. And this contributes massively to climate change, not only through the direct impacts, let's say the use of nitrogen for fertilizer, but through the indirect impacts of deforestation.
Some conservative lawmakers and pundits recently ran with a story, which turned out to be false, that part of President Biden's new climate plan is a mandate to limit Americans' beef consumption to 4 pounds of red meat a year. It was all over Twitter and Fox News. Why do you think this Biden climate plan misinformation blew up the way it did?
I think we're headed into some serious meat wars. I think there's going to be a lot of pushback against any sort of dietary advice. We've seen that already in Germany when the Green Party tried to introduce meatless Mondays into the government sector. There was a backlash called Hands Off My Sausage. It's often a conservative viewpoint oriented toward a status quo of continuing meat consumption and production in a business as usual scenario. And the thing we found about these 35 companies is they're making claims about becoming net zero or addressing climate change. And at the same time, they're also telling their shareholders they're going to grow by 10, 15, 20% and feed the world with meat and dairy. And those two things simply aren't compatible at the moment. There's no way of growing this sector and reducing emissions that we see on the near-term horizon.
The argument is that, you know, this is a small sector of greenhouse gas emissions. You know, obviously energy use is much bigger, transportation. So why are we, you know, why would we even try to tackle this when there are bigger problems to tackle?
That is a nice idea. Unfortunately, we're living in a crisis moment. This is something that we all have to get our heads around, that it's all of the above. It's everything at once, if we have any hope toward actually bending the curve. So that does not mean that this has to come at the expense of aviation or cars or fossil fuels, but it means that every sector will have to be addressed through a climate lens.
While limiting beef consumption isn't specifically part of Biden's climate plan, there are likely to be regulations on the animal agriculture industry to curb climate emissions that might impact consumption, right?
Well, one would hope. I mean, there are various ways you could imagine making the industry pay for the pollution it creates. And if that happens, and I hope it does, because again, we need progress on this issue, we should see meat become more expensive. And when meat becomes more expensive, what we have seen in the past is consumption should decrease. Now, that may or may not hold true. You know, it may be that people want meat at any expense. We'll find out. But, you know, economic theory would suggest that would have a knock-on effect to consumption.
Culturally, how is this conversation about climate change and meat consumption likely to play out in the future? What do you see in the next 5-10 years?
Oh, I don't think it's going to be 5 or 10 years. I mean, I think it's going to be 5 or 10 months. Things are moving so quickly. And because of the Biden administration, I think I expect almost things to pick up steam. And I expect beef to sort of become the coal of the meat world, because beef is sort of disproportionately impactful on the climate. In fact, I had expected there might be a clean beef campaign in the same way there was a clean coal campaign. Things like this are unfolding before our eyes. I expect the financial sector to get more involved. We're going to be looking at the role of finance and banks in keeping this industry along a business as usual track. I really think the kind of same playbook we've seen with regard to both policy and pushback from the fossil fuel industry, we can probably expect from the meat and dairy sector. Now, I have all sorts of hopes for plant-based alternatives and or cellular meat, meat that's being grown in a lab with far less energy needs and greenhouse gas outputs. And the more pressure we put on, again, this industrial business as usual model, the more change we can expect to see in that sector in response.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
Jennifer Jacquette is Associate Professor of Environmental Studies at New York University and co-author of The Climate Responsibilities of Industrial Meat and Dairy Producers, published in the journal Climatic Change. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.